Welcome to Reset Your Mindset with Angie Z. I'm super excited to have you here today to share inspirational stories from entrepreneurs around the world that provide you with valuable lessons and mindset strategies to enable you to play the game of life your way. How did you start to become actually a dancer and a personal trainer, model, actress? Like, how did this actual reality come about?
Well, it's all started with the music school because I finished music school specializing in piano years, and I was always wanted to do dancing. Right. But my parents was quite strict. So I'm from a quite dominative parents who always think that what they think is the best way to do. So I got into dancing and I started doing ballroom dancing from the age of nine before doing some gymnastics. So with ballroom, I was been dancing for 3 years, but it's been a quite a depressive experience for me, and negative in the sense that I could never get a good partner, a male. They always giving me a girl. So on the biggest comps that we were running, I was never coming in the top three or so, and I was very competitive from childhood. So after 3 years in doing competition in ballroom, they gave me another girl that I had to compete with, and she was new. So we lost again. And I was crying like a baby for probably 4 days. And then my parents said, you never can go back to dancing ever in your life because you're very sensitive. So I just finished music school.
Right.
And went to Australia. And then in Australia, I always wanted to do dancing again and practice because the school I've been to in Russia was one of the best schools for ballroom. So got back in there, away from parents, and I got offered to do some teaching jobs. So from the age of 18, that's how I started doing teaching, and I was teaching in St. Leonard's for 3 years, was teaching kids and adults, and ballroom really developed into the Latin and the dance hall and reggaeton styles that I've been learning and teaching.
Yes.
Until now.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's how the dancing background started, and with the shows, I started doing shows 3 years ago too, so I've been just pretty much dancing in all these beautiful ballroom spaces for the weddings and for the opening of the nightclub. So the style of dancing I do is quite diverse. So now I've got a good news, in 3 months I'm starting up my own dance school, a dance and fitness school that I called iCrab Dance and Entertainment.
Fantastic. That's very exciting.
Yeah, that school, it's going to be more women's club and kids.
Okay.
So my idea would be having ladies to do either fitness and in the dance classes. A big range, because I found a lot of women now asking me to do some fitness classes but more involved into dancing.
Right.
Because they can't ever be boring with just lift heavy and go to gym or so, feeling a bit intimidated.
Yes.
So for creating this female kind of space with a bit of dancing, music and fitness going on, I think would be good atmosphere for them to really start working out and not feeling intimidated by idea of must train and work out.
Yes.
And also we'll have kids as well, as I've got experience teaching from the age of 4.
Okay.
And also want to create this kind of kids and mums feeling of, you know, being together in the same space and do fitness together.
That's beautiful, like a bonding session and a fun one at that.
Yeah, because it's a lot of, especially in Australia, the overweight percentage in Australia is quite high. Kids, I think, it's over 40% now, and female over 65%. So a culture in the family of the fitness environment and active life.
Yes.
And have to be a fitness gym or somewhere you really can go somewhere and work out and feel good and happy and communicate with the ladies who've got same interests or kids and you know, schools or something. So I really want to create that environment, and I'm also getting some costumes ready for kids and adults as well, so we can do some concerts every 3-4 months or so they can show what they've done.
Yes.
It's very important for everyone to see the outcome of everything, because sometimes you go to classes and you never really see the result unless you actually see yourself from a video or somewhere you can really see that the changes has happened and you've been changed, whether it's more flexibility or the body shape or the how you feel, everything. Mm-hmm. So that comes from the dancing perspective. And with fitness, I started actually quite recently. I graduated with a master trainer at St. Leonard's.
Right.
And now I'm a personal trainer and also the gym instructor, and I do like classes like body pump and Zumba classes as well.
Wow.
So with this type of mix, I started myself. I've been a runner from young age, so I was competing for schools.
Okay.
And I've been doing long jumps competition as well, so I've been going quite heavy on that, and mm-hmm. my teachers was always wanted me to go into sports.
Yes.
Yeah, and the parents still didn't want me to do that because I got the education first.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped it, and then at 12 I got I was diagnosed with some issues with my back. So I've got arthritis.
Right.
And it's been developed really bad. So now my doctors say inside I'm 50 years of age, woman with my body inside. So my spine is not strong enough.
Mm.
So that's why they said, forget about fitness, forget about dancing.
Mm.
If you want to destroy my dreams, but that's what they said. So I'm constantly seeing chiropractor now.
Right.
But I realized by actually doing fitness and do what I do, which is running and some weight training,
mm-hmm.
which obviously limit myself to a particular way I'm doing it.
Right.
I found out that the more active I am, the better I feel. And a lot of doctors telling me this, anything about my health issues, pretty much I proved them wrong by doing what my body feels is the right way to do, which mm-hmm. what I want to teach other people as well.
Yes.
And then believing in what other person's saying, you know your body much better, and you would know it better by doing something and trying something. Obviously, you don't have to go crazy by doing some deadlifts with 200 kilos by the end of the year, but you can really start from little and develop yourself into something bigger and see how you can look and how you can feel as well.
So you're a very self-determined young lady, I've got to say. And you were obviously born to do this, Valeria, because, I mean, it sounds like you've been super active your entire life, whether it be sport, dancing, gym, whatever it is, and then educating others.
Well, yeah, with the way my life is structured, I actually do plan every day of my life. Mm. I cannot wake up and don't know what I'm going to do the next day. Even when I was a kid, I was asking my mum to wake me up at 6 a.m.
Yes.
And my mum was like, why are you waking up? So I was like, Mum, I said, I have my plans for today. And I was like, what are you doing? I'm a little kid. It's been kind of happening all life, but I believe, you know, that scientists are saying that you as a person actually being set as a person by the age of 6.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So I do believe in that sense that your personality is really developed by 6, and obviously depending on people around you in society and family, mm-hmm. it does affect what you do after. But your core, your insight, how strong you are, what your personality is I think really developed from a very young age. So I never remember myself not doing something. I was always want to learn something new. Like even with Australia, I came to Australia, I couldn't speak the language. I could only say yes, no, of course. There was entire vocabulary. And you just roll with this, and there was a lot of troubles and things happen
yes.
in the life. And I never regret of anything happening. Just keep pushing and doing what you want to do and just be best version of yourself.
Oh, that's amazing. Absolutely. Agree 100%. So obviously you live a very active lifestyle, which would help you, like, for yourself in terms of your fitness and health. But for those out there, like, who might be struggling or not knowing, you know, what to eat in terms of their diet, do you have any specific rules that you follow in terms of nutrition?
Yeah, with the diet, for me, it first of all is a simple physics behind it, because obviously the amount of calories you're burning and amount of calories that you're consuming is should be balanced all time. So if you obviously overconsume the amount of calories and don't burn them during the exercising, whether it's just walking to the shop or going to the gym, you're going to put on weight. And if you're having less calories consumed, you're going to lose weight. So the physics behind it is very simple, but how to follow, this is a big question for everyone. So in my sense, because I'm really, for me, I'm not at home like most of the time, and I'm just early home and late night, so I don't even have time to do the pre-cooking thing like a lot of people are doing, and it's amazing.
Okay.
And I'm kind of struggling with this too, but my idea is I do weight my food.
Right.
I have a scale. I know how much everything weighs, so I'm making sure I'm not stretching my stomach, and my stomach is not used to the big meals, because once the stomach used to the big meals, it's going to require more. So instead of having 200 grams of chicken, if the stomach would require half kilo of chicken, it's no good for the body, because it's obviously over-consuming. Mm. And I do count the calories.
Okay.
And how many calories I burn and how many calories I eat. And we live in the world of technology, so it's so easy now to set up the app on your phone and set it up knowing how many kilometers you walk through the day or how many calories you worked out at the gym or at home. So or even if you eat something, you can just put in your app what you ate and they tell exactly how many calories is there. So as long as I follow up on this, which takes pretty much a few minutes to do it, through the whole day.
Yes.
And I don't even use app now because I'm so used to it, so I know exactly how much I eat and how many calories are there. And another thing I found is the cheat meals. It's a lot of dilemma happening whether you can't eat all the sugary or chocolate or cheese or any cravings you want to. Mm-hmm. In my sense, I actually always eat if I want something, like with I'm a big lover of milk, chocolate and cheese.
Okay.
And there was no one day existed and I never had a piece of chocolate per day. But what I do, if I really want it, I would have it, but I have a little bit of it and I know exactly how much I eat, I know how many calories is it, and I know that I'm going to go and I'm going to burn it during my exercises.
Right.
Because so, I found that psychologically a lot of people are struggling not to eat any sugar or, let's say, no bread or something that they think is bad for you, which is no food is pretty much as bad if you have it in considerable portion and having in balance.
Yeah.
Would affect it. Some people are just, instead of having that piece of chocolate that they so want, they have 2 kilos of apples. And who said 2 kilos of apples are good for you per day? So I'm really against of these diets when you have one day of apples, one day of chicken, because you really need to have a balance of different vitamins going on in your body and have a metabolism working rather than struggling all the time with the food. So I never even use the word diet, because if I use the word diet, it means I'm a diet 24/7. For me, it's more like lifestyle. I know that if I eat chocolate, I'm not gonna eat cheese after this straight away. I'm not gonna have a heavy dinner, so I'm consider what I eat and just count exactly how much I'm eating, make sure I'm not over consuming something, the calories. And I always have something in my bag, let's say some boiled eggs or protein bar or nuts or something small, because the snacks is another big enemy.
Okay.
Because they just don't have time to eat, so they grab anything they see on the on the plate of someone else, or you know, on the big lunches too. As you would know as well, as a busy woman. So yeah, so it's a few things, and with alcohol too, I'm not a very big consumer of alcohol. If I would drink, I'll drink once in 2-3 months, maybe cocktail or one, because I believe if you, for women especially, it's very big enemy on calories. So if I would go for alcohol, I would skip one of the meals, because I know it's a very high consumption of calories you're getting in one take if you're having a night out or so. So I would really bear this in mind too.
Yeah, great advice, most definitely. And I guess too, with the work that you do, you couldn't really be having even a glass of wine, you know, once a week or what have you, because you're usually working in the evening and things like that.
Yeah, exactly. No, for me, I said it's once in 2-3 months. if I go somewhere to celebrate something. I'm just not a big fan of having that feeling the next day.
Yes.
I see people having a drink and feeling not the best the next day, the best way to go to sauna because it takes all the toxins out of your body.
Okay.
And you feel so much better after.
Oh, fantastic. Very good advice because I'm sure we've got a lot of people listening that do love to have their Cosmos or their glass of wine quite frequently.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Fantastic. So for you, Valeria, so you've obviously been through some interesting experiences. What would you say has been the toughest part of your life and how did you get through it?
In terms of fitness itself and career-wise?
Just
or?
Generally. Yeah, what's been, you know, like what's been the turning point to get you to where you are today?
Well, my father's a very wise man and he's been achieving a lot of things in his life. He's a big man, policeman in criminal affairs.
Yes.
And he was always telling me that you have to knock a lot of doors constantly, mm-hmm. everywhere you go, everywhere you can.
Okay.
And then bit by bit, those doors are going to be opened back to you, but they might not open for a few years and they might never open to you. And you might have a few doors open straight away and wait for the opportunities to come.
Mm-hmm.
So in my case, when I started thinking what I want to do, because I finished bachelor in political social sciences, majoring in international relations and history,
right.
University of Sydney.
Yes.
It was a big change for me from that, going to something in fitness modelling or so. But how it started for me is, as I mentioned before, I had a very bad back pain.
Mm.
And I wouldn't be able to stand up and walk properly, and I have my pain every day, and that's how it's been really constantly bothering me during my normal life when I was going to office work and doing some human resources management and doing uni degree or so. So I got into the fitness and dancing because I really loved it, and it was the only thing that actually helped me to feel better.
Yes.
Every day.
Mm-hmm.
And by seeing that I can achieve some results out of that and I can help other people by doing the classes, because I do a lot of private classes,
right.
And I have a lot of women with a back pain or women that are not feeling good for the whole day or no energy or something. So that helped, that I got this feedback from people feeling much better, really pushed me to do more, because all my life I was feeling that I want to help.
Yes.
And I didn't know, and, you know, and I think it's for everyone. If you feel you're very useful for something, mm-hmm. and you get a result, you really start liking it and you really start feeling that you're doing something good and really pushing you further. So the feedback from other people that I was getting from what I was doing really pushed me to do more. And obviously that's why I started doing fitness course, and that's why I started doing some different dance classes and different styles to get more exposed to things. So one of the turning points was for me is I'm constantly self-motivated.
Yes.
But I realize is by having a feedback from people really pushed me to do more. Same as modeling. With modeling, when you see results from the photos and you see people are liking it and you see people start using it and they can see set up as an example for them,
mm.
that really boost your self-esteem, and you know you can do better and better and better. And you, by drawing the good picture and trying to transform this picture to the minds of someone else, that's probably the best thing you can do for someone else too. So it's kind of life-changing moments where you change yourself and you change someone else for a better.
It's beautiful.
So I was constantly motivated, so
yes,
that was my probably turning point in life.
I can tell, yeah. You've got a very strong mindset, actually, which is hugely beneficial, particularly in the work that you do. So how do you cope with things like, you know, if you go for a modelling job and you don't get it, or if you go on a competition, how do you constantly deal with that?
Well, it's an interesting question, and I've been through a lot of stages, obviously, with this, but I can say, as I already mentioned before, I'm a very competitive person.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, if I'm not getting to the place I'm thinking of or dreaming of, it's really frustrating.
Okay.
So when I start doing my first comp, in Australia was it was a year and a half ago. So it was quite recent when I started doing actual beauty pageant or beauty competitions.
Yes.
Aside from modelling itself, it was Miss Northern Beaches Australia once, and there we have girls all over New South Wales coming to compete. I was very nervous, and I placed third in Australia 2016, and I was crying like a baby. And it was a lot of girls that couldn't even get a place, but me, I was so frustrated. Got back home, said to my boyfriend that, you know, it's the worst experience ever. I didn't know that it was that bad. And my boyfriend, I was like, what are you talking about? It's such a good result. You're third, yes. You know, you're top three. And I couldn't even think about it. It's like, what are you telling me? I said, you're lying to me. I said, this is not good enough. And that's how I was really, really upset. I said I would never go back. And then after this, obviously, after people seeing me on that com, and the judges usually coming from the clothes brands, cosmetic brands and stuff, so they're all sponsors.
Okay.
They kind of start asking me to do some gigs for their modeling gigs and ask me to compete in other competitions, and then they're going to be sponsors for either it's a tanning product or something else. So I start going back, and that's where I start realizing that it's not actually about the win. Win is good, but the way that how you can be, you can't be really rejected. It's a lot more depends on what they're looking for.
Yes.
So if someone out of the judges, because it's very, it's all up to one person or two that really changed their whole game in terms of their points and stuff. If they're like brunettes with the green eyes, I don't know, short hair, and tiny waist or something, there is so much I can do if I'm blonde and have blue eyes. It's just impossible, especially with the modelling. You have a lot of castings and you look at everyone else and they all look so different and you would never guess who they're going to pick. And a lot of girls sometimes coming up to me from when they're doing beauty pageants and ask me what's wrong with them, why they're not good enough to get into the finals or something. And the question is just what people are looking for. And maybe this, and I remember even I did Miss VA Supercars in 2016, first time.
Yes.
Yeah, and I got six in the country in Australia.
Wow.
And they had 1,500 girls competing through all the states. They picked 23 girls to compete in Gold Coast for the national finals. And then I got six, and I got, again, frustrated, but I was fine on that point because I started realizing that it's not about the win sometimes. Mm-hmm. And the lady, Selena, the organizers, all these big comps, this woman is amazing what she does with the competitions and organization. So she came up to me, she said, you six, she said, it's an amazing result. And she told me about the story about the Jennifer Hawkins, who is Miss Universe.
Yes.
And she came second on that comp. Mm-hmm. So they had Miss Indy back in that time. Now it's called Miss Supercar. So she came second. And this other girl came first. No one knows her now. Who is this girl who came first? And even I don't know. But I know Jennifer Hawkins, who came second. And who's one of the most beautiful women in the whole world and been very successful. So in this particular comps, it's more about getting exposed.
Yes.
And do your best what you can do. Really try hard because everyone always watching you. Mm. Even if you think you don't know, everyone really putting the eyes on you because you are putting yourself on the panel of judging. So you're going to be judged anyway. So a lot of appreciation for girls actually doing this. And when you get judged, you know 100% that you're going to be accepted or you're going to be not accepted. You're going to be top three or you're not going to be top three. Mm. And this is reality. So you kind of roll with this and you're just getting better. And I can see myself from doing my first comp when I came third and doing the comps now. I'm very different in the way how I treat the luck or not being that lucky on the night and not being selected.
Yes.
And instead it's just all about being the best version on that particular moment and just do the best.
That's absolutely brilliant. Seriously, a lot of people could benefit from that advice, Valerie, alone, like just having that mindset and understanding that it isn't rejection, that they are looking for different things. And it's not to do with you, particularly if you put in all the hard work and the effort. Give it your best shot, like you said.
Yes. Yes, nice. I agree.
So, you know, what's the three pieces of advice that you would give other entrepreneurs who want to live out their dreams, but perhaps, you know, they're stuck or they're a bit lost or a bit confused, you know, and then they hear someone like you who's, you know, going at it 1,000%. What are the three most valuable pieces of advice you could give them?
Well, main thing for me would be a lot of people don't know what they want. They really want something, but they actually don't know what's what's the goal. So to have a set plan of things you want to achieve, you really need to sit down and write it down. You really need to take all your thoughts out of you and put it down on the paper and really look to them. Very important to really know what you're going for. And by knowing exactly what you want, you really, after, you can know what you have to work on and where it can set you on. A lot of, I always read a lot of books. Books, I believe, give a lot of information, a lot of thoughts for you to think. And knowing Tony Robbins always talking about having that plan in mind. And if you know, let's say, someone's successful in real estate, and or someone very good in the project management or something.
Yes.
Get that person that knows that knowledge. Follow the person. Follow the path. Know what they're doing, how they became successful. And we know the stories. We know, I don't know, famous Arnie Schwarzenegger, who came with $20 in a pocket in America.
Mm.
He told me the whole journey, how he went from the most poor person coming from Austria, becoming one of the greatest people in fitness and in politics. He write down the autobiography about himself. So for me, first of all, would be the set the plan, what are you going to do?
Okay.
Actually start doing the action plan, because words speak much louder. The words wouldn't speak louder than the action, as we know.
Mm.
So start the action itself. Wake up early morning and do what you're going to do. And third is find that inspiration and find the person that you really look up in your industry and really read about this, how they went to this. Because if you are trying to, you know, repeat what their success is and trying to really go to these steps, you're going to end up with a good result if you're really going to go for this.
Fantastic. That's, gold. Serious gold, Valeria. Just on that note too, talking about other people that inspire you, who inspires you?
I'm very interesting example, because I, from childhood, I was never been that person that gonna, you know, like when you laugh at, I don't know, Justin Bieber, and you always listen to his songs, or you like that particular actor.
Mm-hmm.
I had anyone favorite in my life that I really look up to, and it was only my dad that I was really inspired by.
Yeah.
So he's a sportsman. He's a UCS champion for kickboxing and wrestling as well.
Okay.
He's been a sportsman and doing police, and he's been giving me a lot of advice. And I was growing up with his schedule of waking up early morning, go for a run, train, and do things together. And he was always reading a lot of books. So I picked up after him just to read books and do things that I really want to know about. I always read a lot of psychology and read a lot of books that really inspires me. So I would recommend Tim Ferriss. Tim Ferriss actually wrote this recent book, Tools of Titans.
Yes, I've read it. It's great.
Similar to what you're doing, Andy. He's doing the podcast with people who have done amazingly well in particular industry, whether it's fitness or construction or anything.
Yes.
I picked up the best advices from them and read it all in one book. And it's just amazing to see how a lot of tips you can pick up from this and really use it in your life.
Mm.
And for other people, the best food for your brain is the book. So you can always, find the person that inspires you. But when it comes to business, let's say, with what I want to do, I know one girl, she's in Russia, that she set up the entertainment dance company.
Right.
Sonia Dex, she's been very successful in Europe too with her dancing and her program. and stuff. So I really follow up on her, what she's doing with her costumes and her performances and styles, and really kind of give me ideas on my business. So I do have a person that I kind of get the ideas and get the sense of how things can be set up.
Yes.
But I said my brain usually gets all the information from the books. The more I read, the more variety of the thoughts I have. So by reading all these amazing tips from the most successful people in the whole world, you can pick up pieces by piece. And Tim Ferriss also said in his book that you don't need to pick up from things you read, and then you can be not even agreed on some points, but there is always things they're going to pick up on and mm-hmm. will be developed in a much bigger thought, because we as a person are much stronger inside by reading more and getting more knowledge and trying to interpret in your own way, because we're all different. So it will only get better and better the 100%. More you know.
Oh, definitely. I love books for that reason as well. Amazing. So thank you so much for your time today, and I wish you every success in all your competitions moving forward, and most importantly, your amazing dance center that will be open soon.
Thank you so much, Angie. Thank you so much for having me today. It was a pleasure talking to you. And, I wish everyone to be the best version of themselves, because I guess that's how we make this world much better.
Yes.
And beautiful and healthier.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, that's fantastic. Thanks, Valeria. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for listening to The Movement, where we help you shift your heart and mind to excel in every area of your life. We appreciate any comments and your support. Feel free to leave a review on iTunes and subscribe to our latest updates on angelinazimmerman.com.